Well, hey there, this is Fish and Frank, and another Radio Fishing broadcast exclusively on fishandfranks.com. So, we got Captain Kale with us here, fresh off the water, and we're going to find out what happened today. Hey, good afternoon, Captain Kale.
Howdy.
So, what's up today, Captain? Did you, you went out on a charter, but it wasn't a normal charter, was it?
No, today was an educational trip on their boat, which I do quite a few of. kind of taught them how to fish the deeper waters. He's got a deep V boat, so he's kind of limited as to what he can do here in the upper harbor.
So, basically, to break it down, you... when people move down here and they bring their boat or they're looking for a boat, you get on the boat with them, show them where to go, what to do, and how to do it, and what they can do best with their boat. And today was a little challenging because you had a deep V boat.
Right. A lot of people bring their boats up from, or bring them down from up north.
Yeah, not many people come up to here.
Or they get down here and get in a hurry to buy a boat. And in either situation... 99% of the time, it's the wrong type of boat for the fishing that they want to do.
Yeah, it's a really good idea to hire a captain, not so much to go out and go fishing with, but I make better decisions when I know what my choices are and what I'm going to be doing. So if they hire a captain, go out on the water and actually see where they are, see how they've got to get back to the fishing spots, what type of fishing you're going to do, what equipment you need, what equipment you don't need, what's the best type of boat to do this. I think the biggest thing I hear is when I want big enough for the Gulf and small enough for the harbor.
Right. And it doesn't exist.
Well,
it's, you
it
can
means,
find that in-between boat.
But it's too small for the Gulf and too big for the harbor.
It's going to suck at both.
Yeah.
It's, and there's a lot of advantages to taking a captain out, not just learning the water and what boat can and can't do, but... The big help, believe it or not, is learning our local nomenclature.
Your what?
Our local nomenclature.
What nomenclature?
What we name things and what they're named on the map. Cormorant Key.
Right.
Two Tits.
Well, it's actually, it's gone, I've seen it, it was Carmen, Cormorant.
Yeah, it's changed.
Bird Crap, Two Tits to... I don't. I think it's back to Carmen Key or something like that. I don't know what they're calling it anymore because it's almost died off in Hurricane Charlie.
It's been called Two Tits. You have Two Tits, Whorehouse Point, Bird Shit Island. Where are you at? You're not going to find those on the map. And as long as men still name stuff on the map, you're going to get names like that. And these guys come down and don't know what we're talking about when we say, hey, we're sitting down below Two Tits catching trout outside the bar.
The best place, if you're not familiar with this, is Waterproof Charts 1 or F1F has a lot of local names on it because they come to us once a year and we do names and more names on it and, you know, kind of correlate it to our website so that you can look at the stuff on the chart and see it on our website and stuff. And it's a good chart for that. But what we're talking about is kind of a two separate things. One, hire a captain so you can figure out what type of boat you want to buy.
Right.
Do you want to do this type of fishing or that type of fishing? And two is what you did today where you've bought the boat or you had a boat and you brought it down.
Yep.
And now you have your boat. Now you want to know, what can I do with it? So what did you do today?
He had about a 24-inch draft, so we found some deep water and showed him how to fish some of our channels for trout, and it'll apply to snook in the springtime. We moved outside the bar, showed him how to drift along the bar and from the bar out with the wind or from out in with against the wind. Showed him how to anchor the boat up at Alligator Creek Reef.
Which is kind of typical if you want to go out and fish the reefs out in the Gulf. Once you learn how to mark a reef on your chart, make a buoy drop, anchor, not be afraid to re-anchor. That's the biggest thing is, you know, people put down the anchor and it's like stamped in the word of God, you have to stay here. You don't. Pick it up.
Right.
Move around. Get in a good position.
The biggest mistake that I see is people don't understand how that fish finder slash GPS slash bottom finder works. I caught that guy on it today.
Okay.
And I show the people this every time. You drift towards the reef. You see the structure come up. Big thing to do, remember your depth before you hit the reef. Note that depth. Alligator feet's about 12 feet.
Right.
Pay attention to your depth as you drift over the structure. Depending on where you're at, it's going to be anywhere between 10 and 6 feet deep on top of the structure.
Right.
So when you anchor up and you see that flat bottom at 6 feet, and I showed the guy, I said, well, you got a flat bottom here at 6 feet. What's that mean? It means we're off the reef. Why does that mean we're off the reef? Because I'm not seeing any structure. You're standing still. You're not going to see structure.
People forget what a narrow little view a depth finder has.
Yeah.
When they say, well, you know, I want to mark fish from get my fish finder. I said, no, all you need it for is a depth finder. Because if you're in 10 feet of water, it's looking at maybe what? A foot of bottom?
Foot and a half.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I explained to the guy, I said, if we take your boat from here to the Yucatan Peninsula, and I hold my hand 4 feet under your transducer, it's going to show 4 feet deep water from here to the Yucatan.
Right.
And you have to get over that in your mind. That's why you pay attention to your depths as you come up to the reef. If you anchor up and you're seeing that you're flat bottom at 7 feet when it was 12 feet before the structure, you know you're sitting dead on top of that structure.
Right.
And so, that's where you want to be.
That's a really good point. You know that drink I was looking all over for?
Yes.
It's in my foot. It's on the shelf here. Just, you know, my whole day really...
Yeah, it's been one of those days for me too. But tomorrow we're taking the guy back out and we're going to show him some new territory out in the Placida area, out through the intercoastal.
Sorry. That's what I've got for my wife's ringtone, so I'm just going to ignore it. All of a sudden, I hear this fishing in the dark. That means the wife is calling. But anyway, and hopefully by next week, we will actually have cell phone hookups to this. We're going to be calling people from all over the place, just to give you a little update on what we're looking forward to. But you went out today. What'd you catch?
We caught some trout fishing the deeper water, the channels. Then we caught... some really nice ladyfish and some, again, today, some really nice Spanish mackerel outside the bar.
So how far outside the bar are you looking for these mackerel?
I found these mackerel right out in front of the burnt store markers. And then we got into another batch of them just north of Pirate Harbor Channel.
Yeah, I'm going to have to remember to move my phone because first I hear fishing in the dark. Now Doctor Who is playing. I've got a rather eclectic phone. You know. Of course, Greg is the good, bad, and the ugly.
There you go.
Anyway, enough about my stupid phone. Now, when you're fishing for those mackerel out there, what are you using?
I was throwing my good old 17MR.
So
not a whole lot of paint left on that thing.
Yeah.
The mackerel down by Burnt Store were actually hitting shrimp underneath the popping corks.
That's how I usually fish them. They like that noise. I put a split shot on, 3 feet of line to the popping cork, and pop the heck out of them.
Yeah, I even tied on a silver spoon. They wanted nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, if you're going to do those mackerel, try a 37-140 Mustad wide gap hook. It's not a circle. It's not a J. It's kind of a mix between the two of them, but it's easy to get out. Never gut hooks. Never foul hook. Or, well, it'll foul hook around a fin or something. But, I mean, it is right there in the mouth of that fish. That 37-140 Mustad is absolutely amazing, or the 37-141, which is the silver one. But they work great on those mackerel. What are you using for leader? I'm usually using, like, 30-pound fluorocarbon.
I'm using 25-pound mono. In my opinion, the water isn't clear enough to really... need fluorocarbon.
Why spend the money?
Yeah, and usually I'll keep some 60 pound with me when it's mackerel season. I didn't really expect them today, so just run with a 25, set the drag to hate, and get him in before his buddy sees that he's got something shiny hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, because that's where the problems come in, is when the other ones come up and try and eat it.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll bite the swivels, they'll bite the...
Watch it the next time you actually keep a mackerel. Put them in the live well, let them die. Put them in the ice chest, let them die. And I actually like putting them on ice. I put trout and mackerel on ice.
Oh, immediately.
Firms up the meat, makes them much easier to fillet.
Yeah, I won't. I don't eat mackerel that isn't kept on ice.
And look at their face once their color fades away. And you really start seeing those scratches and scars from other mackerel taking the food out of their mouths. And you start to see exactly why they get bit off. Because if he's got something shiny hanging out of his mouth, be it a piece of greenback or your lure, another one is going to try and take it from him.
I think it's a common misconception. People think that the mackerel himself is biting through your lure. It's not. It's the one next to him, or the one next to that one, or the one next to that one.
Right.
And
right.
They're all just going back and forth. They'll hit anything that moves.
Yeah. The only sure bet to catch them without getting bitten off is wait until you actually see them busting bait on the surface. That's really the only way. Then they're all paying attention to bait, not what each other's doing.
Gotcha. So anyway, pretty good day out in the water. You look a little tired.
Yeah, a little bit, but we've been running a week straight now, so
every day on the water.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's a good thing this time of year.
Yeah, I finally get Monday to take off and go fishing with Dave, so.
Oh, yeah, I just talked to Dave. We have a big to-do coming up, the Fish and Frank's, you know, Christmas party for the employees and everything, and we've got Captain Kale Wings. Did you know Luigi's has a brand new, never before seen anywhere in the world chicken wing? And it's the Captain Kale Wings, named after, of course, Captain Kale here.
Yep.
And so we got Captain Kale Wings, and we got the honey barbecue. We got hot, we got mild. We got all those. I got 200 chicken wings coming. This is going to be
perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Luigi's does great with that. Sorry, we did a little ad for Luigi's. But anyway, mackerel out in the middle of the harbor from Alligator Creek Reef. Go down towards the middle hole. From the middle hole, look down towards Burnt Store Marina, and you are going to find the mackerel somewhere there. And shrimp under popping cork seems to be the thing.
Don't rule out marker two. We did see a couple small guys skyrocket in there around marker two. So,
well, good to know. Okay, well, I think, as they say in the storybooks, we're just about done. And I think, yes, I hear Elvin Bishop in the background. That means we're about out of here. So just as a last thought, thank you all for listening. And Captain Kale, charter boat captain and fishing instructor, goes out in your boat. And hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening.